Well, the disciples were blown away, literally and spiritually. We experienced such high winds in this past week, and I couldn't help but think that the winds of Pentecost were coming a little bit early, though not a good thing as we enter fire season. I know you don't want to see those high winds. But the resurrected Jesus had been with the disciples and the friends just a few days earlier, but now he was gone, ascended into heaven. But before he left, he promised that he would send an advocate, a comforter, sent from God. But first, the instructions were they were supposed to go to Jerusalem and wait. And so there they sat, some of them immobilized by fear, huddled in the upper room, distraught, tired, grieving, and overwhelmed. Their Lord and Master was gone. They were left on their own. What would they do? Well, this is how things were prior to that first Pentecost. But then something amazing happened. Something surprising and unpredictable. Here's how it all began. The Pentecost story takes place 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. The word Pentecost is not just a denomination, but it comes from the Greek word Pentecostus, and simply means 50th. And at that time, historically, the Jews celebrated the Feast of Weeks that we read about in Exodus 23. It comes from an agricultural festival in which the Israelites dedicated the first fruits of the harvest to God. And so many of them would have journeyed to Jerusalem for this festival. In fact, it was required of many. So Jerusalem was a small city of about 50,000 people. But on Pentecost, if you can imagine, that population swelled to over a million people, from 50,000 to a million. And Christians took this tradition one step further by celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit 50 days after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And among the crowd were his closest followers, Peter, James, John, and the other apostles. And we're told that they were all together in one place when suddenly wind and flames of fire showered down upon them. I know we don't like to hear about fire these days, but just think of it in a metaphorical way. People were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in different languages, and yet the amazing thing was they were all able to understand each other. Now, folks, before you laugh, how many times do you think your spouse was speaking a different language with you? That's all right. They probably thought the same thing about you, too. Or your children, or your boss. Humorous, but no doubt true. But only the Holy Spirit can bring people and nations together like that. The Spirit brought unity and solidarity where formerly there was only discord. And they spoke a language that ended the separation between races and nations and cultures and genders. Do you think we need that today with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict between police departments across the country and people of color? And I wish Democrats and Republicans could come together and end their separate discord. As someone noted, a Bible scholar, that Pentecost is the experience of the Tower of Babel in reverse, as described in Genesis 11. And in that story in Genesis, there had been only one language spoken in the world up to that point, so the story goes. But because of the pride and the arrogance of the people, they built the tallest building in the land, the Tower of Babel, and God scattered the people and confused their languages. And so at Pentecost, we have a restoration of that unity and communication through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit made no distinctions between male and female, rich and poor, black and white, or young and old. It just kept blowing on everyone, uniting and empowering all people along the way. And Peter quoted the Old Testament prophet Joel when he proclaimed, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men and women shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they will prophesy." And Peter was one of those first people who accepted God's offer and promise of power. And he shows the most evidence that Pentecost was working. You might remember Peter just not long before. Peter denied Jesus not once, but three times. He was intimidated by a young milkmaid, concerned that she might reveal to the authorities that he, Peter, had been among the inner circle of Jesus, and they would come for him. And so he was afraid as they huddled in that upper room behind closed doors for fear of the authorities. And how remarkable then it is that Peter was the first one transformed at Pentecost. He experiences the outpouring of the Spirit, and he is completely changed. And as a result, he's moved to stand up and preach the sermon of his life to the large crowd that gathered. No more fear, no more timidity, but he spoke boldly about Jesus, how he had been crucified and raised from the dead. He even put the responsibility for the death of Jesus in the hands of those that were gathered that he was preaching to. And when the crowd heard Peter, we're told that they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter, "Well, we're sorry. What then should we do?" And Peter, straight from his heart, said, "Well, repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And those who received his message were baptized, and we're told that day that 3,000 people were added. 3,000 people. It must be the story of the first revival. What are we to make of all of this? It's a bizarre story. It's hard to understand today. But don't dismiss it outright. Pentecost is sometimes referred to as the birthday of the church. For as we look back in history, it became clear that the beginning of the Christian church happened back then, from which we are the descendants today. So the heart of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit allows ordinary people like you and me to experience God's presence in extraordinary ways. It's about God's Spirit transforming us. Don't we all need that today? The same power and possibilities available to Peter and the early disciples are present right now. And so the question is, how will we be different when we leave this place as a result of the winds of Pentecost? How will churches be different as a result of Pentecost? And will we be more aware of our white fragility? Will we be willing to do something about affordable housing in Marin or help the underserved in the canal area or redlining throughout the county? And there's a host of others. When we experience the Holy Spirit, it is no longer us acting out of our own desires and preferences, but God acting in and through us as a vehicle in order to achieve God's purposes and plans. I think we all know that as Protestants, we value order and logic. And yet there was nothing orderly and logical about these winds and tongues of fire at that first Pentecost. There's nothing orderly or predictable about God's Spirit today. I think Pentecost is a right brain experience, not to be analyzed, though we like to try. But if you try to make sense of it, you lose it. The work of Pentecost is not to inform, but rather to transform and astonish. Pentecost often makes mainline church folks like us uptight and insecure. But it's not about what we want or what we're comfortable with. It's about the power of God and God's Spirit working in our lives, working in our church. It is the quintessential spiritual moment that defines us and refines us as Christians. But let's not limit our vision to what we can do. But let us ask what God's Spirit can do in and through us. God's Spirit cannot be stopped. When you open up the good book, the wind starts blowing, and things are never the same. You go home and the wind keeps blowing. You go to work or the supermarket and the wind keeps blowing. You go to school and the winds keep blowing. You come to church and you know the winds are going to keep blowing because you can't stop God's Spirit. You can't put it back in the box. Once you've experienced the transforming power, your life will never be the same. The church will never be the same. People thought those early Christians were crazy. Oh, they must be drunk, the people said. But they can't be drunk, Peter told them on that first Pentecost. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if people drink at 9 o'clock in the morning here, but apparently they did not then. Something else is happening here. The Spirit has hold of them, and no one has ever seen anything like it. The fact that you're sitting here today is no accident. The Holy Spirit keeps blowing in your life. Today we're invited to receive the same Spirit that the followers of Jesus received 2,000 years ago. Today that same Spirit is blowing. It's blowing away the old and blowing in the new. Where do you need some power and transformation or change in your life today? Where can the Spirit be blowing? What is it that you cannot do on your own, but could do with God's help? How about the power of prayer and caring for each other? Cindy Soroki would tell you that she could not make it through her treatments today without the power of prayer and her faith and your care, each one of you who has reached out to her. Annie made it through very serious surgery because of the power of prayer and her church family, and things were changed. Alana said the same thing. And for those of you who have been the recipients of prayer on the prayer chain, you know what an amazing, life-changing thing that is. When you experience people praying for you, there's a lot of power that goes out from each one and changes lives. My former high school teacher recently lost his wife of many years. And we've been friends on Facebook, and we go back and forth and chat a bit. And he emailed me the other day to express his thanks and to say that he couldn't have made it through this time of grief without the power of friendship and prayer from so many of his friends across the years and across the miles. You know the power of prayer works. The power of caring works. Alcoholics Anonymous has been changing lives and helping people become sober for many, many years. And you might remember that the first thing that they are asked to affirm is that there is a higher power that helps them to do what they could not do on their own, and that is to become sober. We couldn't, as our family, could not have made it through the time when our oldest son was sick in high school for over 2 years, and the doctors didn't know what was wrong. But through the power of prayer and faith and so many friends and support from our churches, he became better. The doctors couldn't explain it. They couldn't do anything for him, but he got better. And a year later, he had no symptoms at all. And today, he eats the hottest, spiciest foods you can imagine and no GI symptoms at all as he had back then. It's something to ponder and ask yourself where you could use a little power and change in your life today. It's interesting, the word for power in Greek is dunamis. Dunamis, and it is the root of the word for dynamite today. You think we could all use a little dynamite, not only in our lives, but in our country and in our world? The Spirit of Pentecost knew something about that. God is not finished with us yet. As UCC folks like to say, God is still speaking, right? God is still speaking. And on this Pentecost Sunday, the winds of Pentecost are still blowing right here and now. And these are holy winds that are blowing. And I hope that they will be blowing in your life too. Amen.